I got to tell you, I am not a public health professional. I am a real estate developer. So that means that all of the hard questions at the end go to the crowd here, and I get the softball questions. When I was asked to do this, and this is at the this conference is really at the tail end of a long experience that I've had with the Boston Public Health Commission, I really sort of asked myself and I asked them, why me? Why me? Why a real estate developer? What do we have to do anything with public health? And through the many weeks and months that we worked together on the CPPW grant in Boston, it became apparent that we as real estate developers shape the built environment and really create a context within which lots of what you all do and care a great deal about can be enhanced. And it was interesting for me to go through the process, and we're going to get to the presentation in just a second, because part of what came out of that for me was a sense that some of the interest that I had, some of the interest that I have as a real estate developer could be enhanced by the things that you did. And that alignment of interests is part of what I wanted to talk about in this presentation. I want to start by telling you, as soon as I can figure out how to get this to work here. Page down, okay. Start by telling you that the effort in Boston is really one that has involved lots and lots of different participants. And as I go through this part, this presentation and tell you a few stories, you'll get a sense as to how diverse that community has been. And at the end, I'll tell you how this coalition has come together. Let me start by telling you a little bit about us. Trinity Financial is a real estate development company. Started back in 1987. We do lots of work in urban communities, places that you care a lot about, with low-income families and residents, and in many places where we're trying to do things that are a little bit new and different for those communities. And it's a business in and of itself that entails us interacting with lots of parties, some which you intersect with in the public health field, but others that, as a result of our interaction with the public health field, we were able to bring a network to the table. We've done lots of things in communities where the challenges are significant. We've been involved in places where we've had to knock down some distressed public housing and build new communities in their place. And in each of those communities, we have been pushed, sometimes kicking and dragging, to try and do new and different things. And what you see on the table here in subsequent slides are some of the things that we have been involved in. Energy efficiency has been a big push for us as we move into these communities, and it has run the range of different things from Energy Star appliances and techniques within these buildings to also solar panels within our developments. When we have undertaken the redevelopment of places, we have felt it important to also have attractive open spaces. These open spaces serve a number of different functions. One, it's a place where obviously residents can get physical activity and recreation, but it's also a place where communities can come together. And in our design, and I know another panelist is going to talk a little bit more about our design, but in our design, we have really tried to make these open spaces feel like a living room, feel like a place where people can come together, and the eyes in the within the housing will be upon this open space and make it more safe for residents in the community to really take advantage of those spaces. We spend a lot of time in our development thinking of ways to encourage our residents to walk and encourage our residents to use public transportation. And that has meant a number of different things. One is locating our developments close to employment centers. The slide that you see here shows three towers in downtown Boston near Boston Medical Center. Two of these three towers are affordable units providing housing to people that work in the medical district who otherwise might not be, would not, I won't say might not, would not be able to afford housing in the South End section of Boston. But we and the city made a commitment that some 350 units of these 550 units would be affordable, and it's important not just to the residents that they're close to their employment, but to the economy, that people that don't have the high-paying jobs in this sector can also walk to work. We've also undertaken a number of developments close to public transportation, because this not only encourages our residents to use foot traffic, but it also enables us as a developer to build considerably less parking, and therefore encourage fewer cars than would otherwise be the norm. This is a 114-unit development that's got a mixture of rentals and condominiums that we built right next to a rapid transit station. The transit station underwent a significant renovation, but this is a transit station that links to downtown Boston, links to Harvard, and many of the major employment centers in the greater Boston area. We were able to build half as many parking spaces as would ordinarily be required here. So for the 114 housing units, we've got 56 parking spaces, and they don't get fully used. It's really a model that that we have found that that works well. We've also found that in undertaking these types of developments, which are mixed-income developments, where in communities where food options are not prevalent or good quality food options are not abundant. And in these developments, we have been able to do a couple of things that are noteworthy for this presentation. One is, on the left-hand side, you're seeing a supermarket. This is a supermarket that I wanted to highlight because it isn't like a lot of supermarkets that we know. It sits on 5 acres and it's got a sea of parking outside of the building. This is one that's got the parking below the building, and people take elevators to transport up and down. It's a way in which an operator that was willing to take this sort of risk, and a way in which we were able to bring good quality food options to a dense urban location that might not otherwise have it. We've been able to partner with the Greater Boston Food Bank to bring food pantries into our developments. Again, these are communities with very low-income households that have very few food options. They oftentimes don't have good choices and don't make good choices, and this is an option that has enabled us to fill that need. When we do our housing, we also try to put in these developments a couple of things that I want to talk about here as well. One is exercise rooms, and these seem like something that is not a big deal, but we have found it to be an incredibly attractive marketing feature in our developments. Heavily used, whether it's a high-end market rate development or something that caters to a population that's more in need of affordable housing, a big amenity there. We've also undertaken some slides of the exercise rooms that we have done. We have undertaken an initiative that, I gotta tell you, we got pushed into. I'm not standing here taking any credit for it. Got pushed into the notion of undertaking smoke-free housing in a number of our developments. And the development that's shown, the two that are shown on the left, depict a property that we had worked months and months on this development. And we had gotten through the permitting, we had arranged the financing, we had done all of this work to get this together. And at the last minute, the Boston Housing Authority, with whom we were undertaking this development, said, Patrick, we wanted you to try something new and different. We want you to try and make this development smoke-free housing. And I said, cut it out. You got to be joking. After all we have done. No, we're serious. And I was very concerned about it, not just because of the change in direction at the very last minute, but this was something that we were going to go to our residents and say to them, we're instituting a new policy, something that had never been done in public housing in Boston. So one of our big concerns was how would the residents react. We engaged them in conversations and to our great surprise found many supporters within the community of this initiative. Another big question that we had was really whether or not this would be legal. Could we do this? Would it meet the fair housing requirements, all of the other things that we as housing developers worry about? And I will forever remember an attorney that we engaged to help us sort through this saying something to me, which was that a cigarette is a pretty dangerous weapon, but it's not protected by the right to bear arms. And it's something to remember. It really isn't a constitutional protection to be able to smoke in an apartment. So we were able to put within our lease, after discussions with the residents, provisions that prohibit smoking in the building. And people have signed up, people have sought out these units as a result of that, and it has worked really well. We've done it not just in affordable housing, but the building that you see on the right is 243 units that we built right across the street from the Boston Garden in downtown Boston. Some of you know it. That's where the Stanley Cup champion Boston Bruins play, right? It's luxury housing for, you know, $4,000, $5,000, $6,000. You can have an apartment in this building. This building is smoke-free housing. And it has advertised smoke-free housing and has been able to have a niche in the market for people that want to have housing where they're not worried about secondhand smoke coming from the apartment next door. It has worked very well. Some of the other things that we have done in our developments to, again, create a more healthy environment has entailed replacing carpeting, which in affordable housing tends to be pretty common. There are wood products out there that are not that much more expensive, can be done in this type of housing that addresses some of the issues that we were hearing from our residents, asthma and related problems. We've also partnered with organizations. I mean, the Boys and Girls Club of America of Boston is part of an association that's across the country, and they have instituted in our developments. They have their big clubhouses down the street, but they have come on site to do what they call shared clubhouse facilities within our properties. We have really looked at whether or not in Boston, not just what Trinity Financial has done at its properties, but can some of the things that have been done in the city be done on a large scale? And the answer is absolutely yes. Let me talk about a few of those things. The city of Boston now has a smoke-free housing registry, and this is a place where if you're a landlord, you can advertise that you've got smoke-free housing, or if you're a tenant looking for, resident looking for that type of apartment, you can go on this website and find it. City has launched a bike share program. For those of you that have been to Gay Perry, you know how well it works there. The city now has that in place, and you see some of the statistics on how well that is happening. As a result of some of the CPPW resources, the city has induced community development corporations to also do smoke-free housing. It can be done. It's not that hard to do. We're also looking at a couple of other initiatives that entail reaching out to insurance companies that insure these buildings that have an alignment of interest in ensuring that smoking and cigarettes and matches and those sorts of things aren't prevalent in our properties, whether or not we can get discounts where there's smoke-free housing. The Boston Housing Authority has embarked upon a program where its 10,000 apartments affecting more than 25,000 residents will become smoke-free. It's well underway. It's going to be a big, big success. The slogan for the city has been good for business, good for residents. It's something that the Boston Public Health Commission has put in place. I think it makes a lot of sense, and I just want to touch on three things quickly and to wrap up. One is to say that the successes that we've had in Boston have been a result of leadership. Mayor Menino there has really sort of said, this is an important priority. And that leadership has enabled us to think courageously and freely about opportunities. It has also been a process where we have pulled together very diverse groups on this initiative. So it's educational institutions, it's major employers, grubby real estate developers who know nothing about this stuff, but see an opportunity for us to distinguish our product from the next person. And then the final thing that I would say is that not everything that we have tried has worked. Not everything that we have tried has worked. And sometimes we've had to take a step back and talk to people a little bit more. But it has been a good process for us. I can't tell you what the public health benefits have been of the stuff that we have done, but I can tell you that our apartments have leased on a more quick basis. We've been able to achieve rents that are better than pro forma, and so financially it has been a success for us. That's what I wanted to talk about. Happy to take questions or comments later on. Thank you.